Brody J. Brummer is on the line from the band right now. G'day, Brody.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Oh, so good. Thanks for joining us here on the Tuck Shop.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
It's really exciting to talk to you because this album is finally out. I know it's been a long time coming. Can you tell me what that first feeling was on Friday when you knew that this album was now out in the world?
It was quite surreal, to be honest, just as it's been so long. Like we said, it was supposed to be out last year. We delayed that due to obvious reasons. Yeah. We weren't able to tour with the pandemic and everything. So, it was great. I mean, it was one of those things where it happened and I was like, there it is. It's out. And I think a lot of people, we had a lot of great reactions. A lot of people, I think, listened to it pretty much straight away, which was, it was kind of overwhelming as well. We had a lot of messages coming in and stuff like that of people that had been listening to it and waiting for it around the world. So it was awesome. It was really good.
Oh, it's really exciting. I mean, I read that May 2019, you were like sort of mixing it and getting that album ready to go. So that's coming on to nearly 2 years ago now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that and look, it was, it's been in the works since our last album. We effectively just jumped straight into it, wanting to just crack into a new album straight away. And I think it was just, I kind of had some trouble getting it to where I wanted it to be at that time. And I think, yeah, in 2019, then something just clicked and we were able to finish it. So it has, we have been sitting on, I guess, a finished record for a little bit now. it's great that it's out.
Yeah, for sure. I read somewhere that you didn't want to be one of those shoegaze bands that takes a long time between albums. But of course, due to COVID, the album was pushed back. But was there any silver linings in this delay in the end?
It's hard to say. I think as a band, we did a lot of touring and stuff like that in between records. So it's not like we were doing nothing. We did a lot of Australian tours and did some great supports playing with some of, you know, our favorite bands. So we experienced a lot, I think, and we played a lot live, and that kind of got us to a position where we're probably definitely better placed to be able to perform this album live than we would have been previously. And I think also in that time that it took us to finish it, we probably did some things with the record that we otherwise wouldn't have done. Which is great.
A bit of tweaking, a few things changed?
I think so. I mean, I imagine if we'd have jumped straight in, if we'd have finished it in 2017, 2018, kind of when we were first doing it, I think it would have sounded a little bit different if we'd have really just kind of stuck with it. And, if we'd have gone with what we had, but we stuck with it and kind of made some changes. So, yeah, I think we're definitely, the silver lining is we're a better place as a band, I think, to be able to play it.
Yeah. I mean, I read that also you're a band that's, you know, obviously has to fund, you're self-funding your tours and you're self-funding your albums, all that sort of stuff, probably relying on touring as well to sort of keep that going. But obviously without the touring, without the gigs, has it been harder to sort of, you know, get that money together to sort of go ahead and go to do those shows?
Definitely. I mean, there's always a barrier. I think it's something that maybe a lot of bands don't really like to talk about too much. But, you know, we are real people and we all have jobs and we all have to work to be able to do what we love. And, you know, I mix bands live. That's my job. And so it was the pandemic and all that kind of stuff made it really difficult, I think, for a lot of us to be able to really have the money there to do it. We record ourselves. We also work with in studios and work with a lot of long-time collaborators like Woody, who mixed the album, etc. So, yeah, there's certain things that do get in the way. But of course, yeah, we were lucky enough to get it finished too. So
yeah. It's a tight 31-minute record, 8 songs. Doesn't hold up. Like it's an album that you can get to the end of and just want to start it again. But I guess 31 minutes is probably shorter than, you know, some of the records in the day. But was there an urge to sort of add extra songs in this sort of extra time you had?
Not at all, surprisingly. And it's really odd, like, now that you say that and I think about it, it never even occurred to me. I like short records. I think I like a record where I can identify with each track on it. And, you know, you kind of, an album comes on and you know every single song. And when someone talks about a song on that record, you know which one it is. because every song is unique and different. And I think it's being able to identify with every track. Also, some albums that are long are great, and some albums that are short are great. I think this one just had to be what it had to be. But yeah, it's odd. I don't think we ever thought about kind of adding to it
I mean, it's a perfect mix of songs. It sort of starts with the woozy Good Times, and he kicks into the Big Mess, and then Okay, the three singles that I guess you'd released leading up to the album. But the song that I want to play first is the fourth song, It's Real, which again is a bit more upbeat, I guess, compared to the sort of slower tracks that you've done in the past. But there's a definite Cure vibe going on in this fourth song, I reckon. Bit of inspiration in that guitar sound.
I think it's for us, that track is kind of, it's pulling together all different pieces from that kind of era, you know.
Yeah.
It's got a bit of, I've been told it's got a bit of a New Order vibe. I've been told many different things about that song, and I think for me it was just kind of putting in elements of all different kind of inspirations and putting it all into the one song. And that song is it's a funny little one. It was definitely the one that happens in its own way.
Right.
Some songs you write, some songs just happen. And I think that was definitely one of them.
Well, we're going to play it right now here on the Tuck Shop on 2SER. This is Flying Colours. We're talking to Brody from the band following their amazing second album, Fantasy Country, which is out right now through Poison City. This is It's Real from the album. We'll talk to you in a sec.
Cool.
You're on the Tuck Shop with Mick Rad here on 2SER. Right there from Fantasy Country, that is Flying Colours, and It's Real. We've got Brody from the band on the line right now. Thanks for joining us, Brody.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Now I think about it, the New Order sound comes through quite a lot. I think I got confused with the Cure and New Order, but
I think it's got a Cure thing going on as well. I hadn't heard it until I just listened to it then.
Yeah,
there it is. Yeah, very much so.
Cool. Yeah, it's one of the shorter tracks on the album, and more upbeat, I guess, than you would typically think from a. Well, I don't really like the term shoegaze, I reckon, but you know, I guess it sort of suits. But do you like that term yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I shoegaze is funny because it's very hard to define it, because I think a lot of bands that are classified as shoegaze, they're also varying in their sounds, and the genres. I don't think is as what's the word I'm looking for? I just don't think a lot of bands are as typical in the genre, but it works for me. I think it's more of a vibe thing, maybe. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. It's more than just you know, rocking back and forward and looking at your feet. But that's
most definitely more than that.
Yeah, you formed the band with Gemma back in 2011, so this is your 10-year anniversary this year.
I never even thought about that. I didn't even know we'd have been doing it for that long.
Was that right? I mean, I read it. I mean,
I guess so. If someone wrote it down, it must be real.
No, I don't trust everything I read, but, you know, do you remember when you first sort of got the project going with Gemma and has it sort of feel like a long time ago?
Yeah, I do. And I guess it does feel like a long time ago, because I'm trying to remember the house that I was living in at that time. And it feels like a long time since I lived in that house. Yeah, it was like, look, I've known Gemma since high school, like since the start of high school. So yeah, we've been best mates for the majority of our lives. And yeah, we were living in Melbourne, like we'd moved from the country to Melbourne. I just had a bunch of songs off the first EP that I'd written, and I knew that we'd have to do them together.
Yeah, right.
And the rest just kind of happened from there, I guess.
Awesome. Now, speaking of live gigs and COVID and all that, you launched the album last night at the Corner. How'd it go?
Sure did. It was pretty wild. So you'll have to excuse me if I'm a bit dusty. It's not been that long between gigs for me. Well, ever since I played my first one, and I think a lot of people are experiencing that right now as well. so it was. For the first time ever in my life, I might have actually been a little bit nervous about walking on stage.
Yeah, right.
But it was a great show. It was sold out. It was very busy. We played a lot of songs, and I think that was the real sense of relief, to be honest. Like, the record came out on Friday, and then to get up and play it for people on Saturday. After that, everything became very real then.
Yeah, I bet. Of course, playing live, I guess for you would just be the main reason why you're a musician. I mean, I play bass myself, and that's where you get your energy from, when you're in front of people and you're playing that music and you just want to keep going.
Yeah, I think like I've touring can be very hard. It's always a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun. And we love each other so much in this band, and we are so stupid together. But touring obviously has its moments as well. And I think every time that you might get a bit frustrated with playing live, and every time you go, well, we'll just do the Beatles thing. We don't have to play live. The moment's always so fleeting, regardless of your reasons, because playing live is so important. And I think we definitely sound different live, and I'd never want to change that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a reason to go and see a band live, is when they do different things with the songs. Not to say that you have to, but I think playing live is a big, big part of music for our band, and I think that's why we did delay putting out the record until such time as it was a bit more safer to do so and be able to tour it.
Well, I'm glad restrictions are eased enough that you were able to do it. You've also got a really solid supporter base overseas, you know, in Europe and America. Obviously, getting there won't be happening in a hurry.
No.
Any sort of contingency plan there, or you just sort of have to wait and see?
Well, it's very difficult, because at the very start, at the top of the pandemic, it was South by Southwest was cancelled, so that was that was kind of like a big moment for us in terms of getting over to the US for the first time, because we do have a lot of people that listen to us over there, which is unreal.
Yeah.
And we've had to postpone our UK European tour. I think this is the third or fourth time now. So it's just, you just see that the dates on that poster changing, every few months, just hoping. But as a contingency plan, I guess, we're looking at doing some things, capturing some of our live performances and being able to put them online, just so at least know it's not the experience of that, of a live show. However, we can kind of showcase, for want of a better word, what we do. Cool. With our live sound.
Oh, that'd be great. And of course, if you are keen to see Flying Colours live, they're playing Brisbane at the Brightside on the 12th of March and here in Sydney at the Lansdowne on the 13th. So it's a good double header of two nights in a row. Now, of course, you're busy. You've been keeping busy, like you said earlier, mixing and producing for other people as well, and even singing with Worst Nurse recently on Fresh Out of Bedpans. what's your link with those?
Yeah, I mixed that one.
Yeah, what a great track that is. What's your link there with those rockin' group?
My partner Anna actually plays guitar in the band.
Oh, boom.
So, it's unreal there. What a great group of people. What an amazing group of people, and it's really, really humbled to be able to work with them and on that track and on some more tracks that'll be coming out eventually as well. So it's been a great time for them, I think, to be able to get into the studio and get some songs together and talk about what they've been experiencing through everything.
For sure. And of course, this album has been released through iconic Melbourne label Poison City Records, home, of course, of Cable Ties, Mere Women, who I'll be speaking to next week, in fact.
What a great record that's going to be.
Oh, I can't wait, yeah.
The singles are amazing. Yeah.
Camp Cope, Horror, My Friend. It's pretty awesome to link up with a label like that. Did it sort of change anything for you as a band in the making of this record?
All I can say is it's just been the most positive experience. Such an amazing label. So we really understand one another and have the same expectations of one another. I think it's just made everything so comfortable, so easy, and it just feels right. And I think when that whole side of things, the logistical side of things, when it comes to something creative, is easy and is seamless, then through that you're really able to do what you want to do creatively, if that makes sense.
Perfect. Yeah, you want to focus on the music and focus on the creation. Yeah,
that's right. And when you're working with someone who really just who gets it and who also has just got such great taste in music, it really makes you kind of have those moments where you do feel like you can do it because you've got that kind of someone there believing in you, I guess, or something like that. It's it's been great, and I was very, 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 very proud to put this record out on that label.
Well, it's a fantastic record. Congratulations on it. Long time coming, but it's well worth the wait.
Well, thank you, and thank you for saying all the lovely things that you have about it.
Oh, no worries. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys play again. It has been a while, but we're going to take out this interview with another track from the record. This time we're going to play, I was trying to decide, but I'm going to go this one.
Cool.
That suits. I could play any of them. I really liked White Knuckles, and I wanted to play that, but I thought 5.5 minutes might be taking some other content away from the show. But this one's only a little shorter, but rock and track. Can you tell us anything about this one in particular?
I can tell you that. What can I tell? I mean, there's a few things. I don't want to give too much away. It's definitely. It was definitely one of the more difficult songs to finish on the record. I've recorded the guitars for this song probably about four times before I actually got what I wanted. So it's that particular song is probably the biggest moment of relief to go, that song has been released.
Right.
Because it nearly broke me. So.
All right. Well, people can listen to that right now and see why it might have broken Brody. Brody Burma from Flying Colours, thank you so much for joining us here on The Tuck Shop.
Thank you very much for having me.